At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Boat Trader is America's largest boating marketplace with over 100,000 boats to choose from. We offer simple, comprehensive solutions for those looking to sell, find, and finance new or used boats. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to How To Tuesday. I've got my friend Anthony Vargas here. He runs our boat at Hawks K. The Saltwater Experience is a 24 Yellowfin. And with that boat, he's getting out there and doing everything that we do on the television show. But he also has really one of the best places in the world to fish, and that's the Everglades. And as you know, the Everglades are full of opportunities to catch snook. And that's what we're going to talk to Anthony about this morning. We're going to talk about snook. Anthony, what's going on, buddy?
Not much. Tom, how you guys doing this morning?
We're doing great. Got a lot of people that want to catch snook. And the snook is a fish. It's a sneaky fish, in my opinion. It's like it would be easy to be in snook water and not catch them, I think, if you were doing some things just slightly wrong. So put them on the right track, Anthony, from A to Z. Let's talk about the snook.
All right. Well, you definitely nailed that on the head. They are a sneaky fish, and sometimes you do one little thing wrong and it shuts down the whole bite there. So first off, you know, to me, bait is key for these guys. You know, they are an ambush feeder, and if you're not in an area with a lot of bait, typically you probably won't find these guys. A few live baits I like to use is pinfish, live pilchards, and also live shrimp, depending on where I'm fishing. There's some artificials that I like to throw as well. I like throwing the Berkeley Gulp shrimp, the white color, and also the new penny is one of my favorite. Rapala makes a really good hard plastic bait that I like. It's called a twitching mullet. And then you can also throw some paddle tails and jerk baits along some shorelines there and target these guys.
Okay. And now that's an interesting thing that you just said. So we're basically unleashing people into the Everglades, and you know, snook can be found pretty much anywhere. I mean, we've done shows where we find them laid up on the flats, other shows where we've got to cast way back under the mangroves. Like let's talk about like where someone could reasonably find snook. I mean, it's a lot of water. How do you kind of identify where to fish? Maybe, you know, as it applies to the tide or the time of the day as well would be helpful.
Right. So I got a lot of different areas that I like to fish. Some of them I do a lot better on a high tide, and some of them I do a lot better on the low tide. On the high tide gives them quite a bit of cover to get up underneath and hide behind so they can ambush, you know, their bait that they're trying to feed on. I got a lot of shorelines, tree debris that I like to fish on that high tide because they'll be tied up underneath the trees and the debris there. So, you know, you'd be pitching your baits up as close, like you were saying, to the mangroves as possible so they don't have to, you know, exert too much energy, you know, searching for their bait. You're going to be pinned up against that debris there. And then as for the low tide, you know, I find on the low tide, some areas, you know, some of the islands that I fish, you know, all the bait on the low tide is coming off the flats out from underneath the mangroves. So the snook tend to hide in those troughs on the edges of those islands and channels, waiting for all the bait to get pushed off the flats there.
Hmm. It's interesting. So in a tide cycle, like the snook are going to move. Like those fish that you're finding on the high tide, well, they're comfortable and happy there when they have enough water. But then when that water gets like up in the Everglades, man, I mean, that same water, that same flat might be dry, a little while later. So these fish are moving and, you know, so it's, I think that's another reason why people will strike out on them a lot, is that they're either fishing, you know, an area that there should be a lot of water, and they're fishing it when there's very little water, and those fish have kind of already moved out. How do you know, like, when it's time to call it quits on one spot and move to another?
One of two ways. The main way I look for is when you stop seeing bait. Once the bait starts to move away, the snook are going to move away with those baits. Because if there's nothing there for them to eat, they're going to be gone.
Right. So when you're saying bait, obviously mullet are one of the most visual. They're jumping out of the water. They're making muds. They're pushing wakes. What other kind of bait are you paying attention to, like on a flat in the Everglades or something like that?
A lot of times you'll see some crabs floating by. You'll also see shrimp popping off the surface every now and again. And then you also look for pilchards too. You'll see a lot of pilchards up that way, you know, along some of the shorelines and in the channels, you know, flipping on the surface there. And once they kind of drift away, the snook are going to follow them wherever they're going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good point. Okay. So, let's talk about your rigs for these different kind of situations. You know, maybe does it change up against the mangroves or out on the flat? Like, what do you like to throw?
So when I'm fishing on the high tide, a lot of the trees and stuff that I like to throw against, I like using the live pinfish and the live pilchards. I'll typically use, you know, 24 inches of 30 to 40 pound fluorocarbon. And depending on the size bait, anywhere from a 2 to a 4-0 circle hook. I've been having a lot of luck with the Owner Mutu Light circles. They seem to get those snook right in the corner of the mouth almost every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What size do you use?
A 2 to a 4-0, depending on the size. Yeah.
Depending on the bait, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Right. So if you're using a really large bait, you want a little bit larger hook, so you have less of that bait is impeding the hook gap. Right.
So correct.
If you have a really big mullet, you need to use a larger hook. Otherwise you're not going to get the fish or the hook in the fish. And if you have a really smaller bait, if you're using a really big hook, it will affect the way that those baits are swimming, and they won't swim naturally. And the fish will avoid those too, because they definitely, man, those snook, not only do you need to have a good presentation, but it has to be very natural looking. Like, They're a tough fish. What about leader?
Leader, I like the I've been using a lot of 30-pound and 40-pound fluorocarbon, about 24 inches of that, to give it a nice, clear, natural presentation. Mm-hmm.
And what else can you tell us about the snook?
And then also, you know, when I'm fishing some of those channels and those runoffs for them, I typically will use a jig head with a live shrimp. I'll typically pinch off the back part of the tail and then run that jig head through the live shrimp, kind of like it was a soft plastic, and then put the point of the hook out underneath by its legs there. Mm-hmm. And then you can just slowly, with the current coming in or out, slowly bounce it off the bottom, and they'll pick it up almost every time.
Wow. And do you get much bycatch on that jig?
You do. Yeah, you'll get trout, red, you know, your occasional catfish, ladyfish, and jacks as well. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty active.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Like, if you had, like in a situation that you're in often, you got maybe one member of the party is a pretty good fisherman, and they're bringing somebody else, whether that's their kids or a friend along, and maybe they might have never caught a fish before, or very few, or only bass and crappie. And so is that kind of a rig that you would put in somebody's hand where you really want to bend the rod?
Oh yes, exactly. Exactly. It's for everybody. You know, you catch your big snooks, your good sized reds. You can also catch, you know, for the kids, you know, you get the ladyfish, which a lot of people call the poor man's tarpon. You also get smaller trout and big trout. And then you also get snappers and such as well.
Mm-hmm. So if you're going to go up there with a party of three, you and three other people, you know, which is pretty common, I think, or maybe two other people, how much shrimp are you taking on a day like that?
I'm typically taking 12 dozen to possibly 15 dozen, because you go through them pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. man, 15 dozen shrimp. That's a lot. And then what size shrimp are you kind of looking for? What would you think would be the optimal size if you could pick at any time of the year?
I would like the, like a 3-inch size is pretty good. You know, it's plenty big enough to get the attention of the bigger fish, but still small enough to, you know, if for the, some of the smaller fish that are there that, you know, like you were saying that the kids or the not as experienced people, you know, can still catch some other stuff as well.
Mm-hmm. And then if you had somebody that's more experienced and they were tired of the bycatch and they wanted to kind of mostly concentrate on snook, what do you do for artificials?
For artificials, I like to throw the Berkeley Gulp is a pretty good one. And then, you know, one of my favorites that I've been using a lot recently is that Rapala Twitching Mullet. It's a hard plastic bait there, and it's a slow suspending bait. So as you're casting it, it slowly sinks, or once it hits the water, it slowly sinks. And then you, as you're reeling it in and twitching it, it dives and rattles and shines. And the bigger the snook like to eat those things quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a bait that you want to put in somebody that's a little more experienced hands rather than somebody that's never fished before.
Correct.
Because I mean, I'm just saying, man, slow sinking bait is like you throw out there, you leave the bail open. You know, some people are like casting around and then you look down and they're getting something out of the cooler. The bail's open. It's like, what is going on? Like you can't do that. Like not with that lure.
Right.
Stuck in the grass or something. So, like a floater would probably be better, or just a jig, with the shrimp, because they don't get caught anywhere nearly as much. I mean, occasionally you'll get them caught on the bottom, but not like that lure would, I would imagine.
Right. No, you got that exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, man, that's awesome. That's awesome tips for the snook. And, you know, I know that people typically it's somewhat frowned upon in the Florida Keys to keep the snook. But there is a season. Do you know what the dates of that season are?
Honestly, I haven't kept up with it just because I'm one of those guys that kind of typically don't keep them too much. But the size limit is definitely a 28 to 32 inch slot size there. They don't give you very much wiggle room to keep those guys. But you can look up their season there on the FWC website. It's pretty easy, informal there. You can just click on the fish and it tells you everything you need to know about their season and size and all that good info.
Mm-hmm. It also tells you everything you need to know when a professional fishing guide that fishes for them all the time doesn't even know when the season is, I say that with tons of respect, because that means that Anthony just never keeps them. Like he's just not interested in keeping them. And there's enough other fish in the Everglades that, you know, maybe you could even talk about that. Like why is the snook a fish that typically is not kept?
It's kind of like for me, it's my favorite fish ever since I was a kid growing up. They always kind of caught my eye. They're smart. They see well. And they're just a really tough fish to catch. They do everything you want them to do. They pull hard, they hit hard, they jump, and you know, you just got to put a lot of work into it. So to go out there and keep multiples every day kind of, you know, just doesn't do it for me, you know, because, right. You know, I enjoy the challenge and all the work it takes to catch them. So I don't want to just be out there killing them every time I'm out there looking for those guys.
Yeah, of course. And on top of that, we had a pretty bad cold front that really put the population down. And so there were a lot of people that may not have had such a problem killing snook one at a time or once a week or once every now and then. And then after that, the numbers went way down and they're rebuilding. Wouldn't you say that the stocks are really coming back? So when you have as many people that are fishing as in the Everglades, it is that's a good practice, in my opinion, to keep the snook as kind of a game fish, and you know, there's tons of snappers. If you want to keep something, you can stop by any mangrove on the way back home and probably catch a couple of legal snappers and keep those.
Yes, sir. You got that right.
Right on. All right, Anthony, how do people get in touch with you?
All right, you can reach me at my email at vargasad01@yahoo.com, or you can call or text me at 321-266-2551.
Right on. Okay, and you can also book Anthony through Hawks K. If you happen to be down at Hawks K, Anthony has the Saltwater Experience boat, 24 Yellowfin, right at the dock at Hawks K, so you can get him in advance is probably the best way, but also if you find yourself there and you want to go fishing, ask him about Captain Anthony. All right, Anthony, thank you very much, man. I appreciate it. That's very generous of you to share that knowledge, and I hope it helps everybody to go out there and catch some snook. Awesome game fish. We didn't even talk about the bridges right next to Hawks K. You ever catch them there?
I do on occasion. Yes, on the windy days, I typically fish those areas, the corners of the bridges, the rock jetties there tend to be a good spot for them too, with some moving current there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Tons of opportunities for snook. Okay. All right. Thanks, Anthony. We'll see you guys next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Spend your Saturdays with Life on the Water. Join Captain Brandon Simmons for fishing, diving, travel, and so much more.
You want to succeed. You want to fish. You want to be one of the greatest.
Oh, look at that thing, dude. Wow.
Oh. Let's see what kind of trouble we can get into today.
Don't miss Life on the Water every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. The destination for outdoor entertainment. Pursuing wild game in wild places. Tune in to Hunt Stand Presents Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.